Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, February 26, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 1, Bill's Story, page 11, starting with the first paragraph, beginning in, "To Christ I conceded the certainty," and we'll be reading through two paragraphs today, ending in, "He certainly had me." And comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Martha S. for the 12 steps, Stephanie L. for the traditions, 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Eileen M., Cindy D., and Wendy B. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. The share ID for yesterday, Monday, February the 25th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,589. That's 12589. And the share ID for this morning's Tuesday, February 26, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,592. That's 12592. The OA Pre-Emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha S. to read our steps. Martha?
Good morning. This is Martha S., compulsive overeater in upstate New York. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Martha, for your service. And now Stephanie L. will read our 12 traditions. Stephanie?
Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers it's 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to keep a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page in Bill's story on chapter 1. We're on page 11 and the first paragraph, and we're going to read through two paragraphs. And the first paragraph beginning with "To Christ I conceded the certainty," ending reading through two paragraphs and ending in "He certainly had me." And so will Eileen please get us started. Eileen?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him, his moral teaching most excellent. For myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated made me sick. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. I can really relate to this paragraph. When I got into OA, I was certainly agnostic. I, like Bill, I counted on God for emergencies only. I would go to God when I had something going on that was really big and I needed help with. But I didn't go to God for day-to-day things. And I never really realized how much I needed a power greater than myself until I started, you know, looking at this Big Book with a sponsor. And, I am so grateful for the sponsor that took me through this book as far as we went. And she had me get entirely abstinent, and then we did the steps together. And, you know, before that, I was attempting to go through this book with an AA sponsor, which I really wanted an OA sponsor, but we didn't have any meetings that I knew of in this area. I was going to AA, an AA Big Book study that was an open meeting. And, I really wanted someone who could deal, you know, who understood the symptoms I have. And I'm not an alcoholic, so that was just difficult for me. So I'm just really grateful to have found someone to read the book with. And I really couldn't believe how blind I've been about not having God in my life. I need God's help every day. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much for allowing me to read.
And thank you, Eileen. Just reminding everybody where we're at. We're on in Bill's story, chapter 1. We're at the first paragraph on page 11, reading through two paragraphs, beginning with "To Christ I conceded the certainty," ending in "And he certainly had me." And who would like to share the, on those two paragraphs?
Kara L.
John K.
Beatrice
Kara
O.
L. And who was with O?
Beatrice.
Okay, Beatrice.
Thank you.
And I heard John K.
Yep.
Okay. And I can take at least three more names. Who would like
Roz G.
Roz G. Y'all are being so nice this morning.
Deborah G.
Was that Deborah G or T?
Deborah G. Is that Gary?
He isn't George. Got it, Deborah. Thank you. And I'll take one more.
Ron G.
I heard a man something Z.
Ron G.
Ron G. We got a bunch of G's going here today. Okay. We got Ron G. Okay. So I have Sarah L., Beatrice O., John K., Roz G., Deborah G., and Ron G. Okay, Kara, you're up, followed by Beatrice O.
Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line today, and thank you for those that are doing service this morning. I really identified with this because it was kind of how I felt about God before I worked my steps and reworked my steps and vision. I thought, all right, there's a God. God is this big being that I had been taught about, but not concerned with me personally, but just concerned with the great works of the world. And I, as I grew up, the more I looked at it, the more I realized, I just turned to God in times of need, right? Those were the times. I never turned to God for the small decisions. Today, you know, through working these steps with a sponsor going through the big book, I realized that I have to turn to God in everything. I mean, this morning I've been up so far, I've asked God, what should I have for breakfast? What do you think? Should I have breakfast before I walk or after I walk? And when I go out for my walk, you know, when I went to bed last night and this morning when I read my on awakening this morning, I reviewed my day and my meditation with my higher power and said, okay, God, give me intuitive thought, decision, or inspiration, you know, how should this go? I'm not sure when to do this or when to do that. And those thoughts come and I get to relax. It's the little things, you know, it's the constantly practicing going to my higher power and asking my higher power for intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. And I'm not in that habit. So sometimes I get involved in my day and I forget. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why am I so wound up? Why am I so tired? It's because I haven't stopped. I haven't stopped and asked to be relieved of my own will and to step into the will of my higher power. When I'm in the will of my higher power, everything is amazing. My day goes so easily. I'm just so blessed and I'm so thankful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. And Beatrice O, you're followed up by John K. Beatrice? Star one to unmute, Beatrice.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you
thank
can.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Beatrice from Northern California, and this is probably my favorite paragraph in the big book because that line, if there was a devil, he seemed to be the boss universal, and he certainly had me. So I grew up in a Christian Pentecostal church for the first 8 years of my life, and then I rejected that God. I rejected Jesus Christ, and I rejected all of that probably until my 30s, maybe. But what I found out is, or what the way I feel now is, my higher power, God, he gave me free will. And I think the biggest gift that God gave humanity, and I'm speaking for myself, is free will. And all these religions that we have created have been created by man, not Christ. And I returned to the higher power I had as a child. And I believe that there's good and evil in this world on a spiritual level. I mean, and I had to surrender. And I had to surrender to the God of my understanding. And just like the big book, I used to take what I want and leave the rest. And that's the way I used to feel about the good book. Take the what you want and leave the rest. And I know that my free will, my ego will take me places I don't want to be. And the evil side is, for me, is this disease is evil. It came to seek, kill, and destroy, and it will destroy me. And I have to live my life according to God's will. And Jesus Christ, which everybody has, God's got a bad rap for a lot of people. I couldn't understand why, you know, the world is the way it is, but, you know, we're human. And, but Christ is my advocate. And I am so grateful that I am able to believe in the God of my understanding and what works for me. And I'm not judged. And I have a loving higher power. You know, we're human.
Sorry?
There's that same, okay, we're humans having a spiritual experience. Anyway, so thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And John K., you're followed by Roz G. John?
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, I look at the big book and realize I sort of came in like Bill's father. I had no problem with the underpinnings of any religion. It's when the man part gets involved, you know. But the trouble I had when I came in was for so long I had conflated spirituality with religion and a belief in a higher power with religion. And that had such negative views. And of course, because I had that negative view, I always looked for the negative things that had to do with religion, whether it's, preachers getting caught in scandals or, you know, and I realized that there's always going to be negative representatives of everything. You know, crazy people representing Islam flying planes into buildings. There's crazy people, you know, representing Christianity, shooting up abortion clinics. A Jew killed the prime minister of Israel, you know, and if I'm going to choose to look at that, of course I won't want anything. But there's also wonderful things that have been done by every religion. There are so many of them that believe in a moral life. They try to provide comfort. They help the needy. But that didn't, you know, it didn't fit my preconceived script, you know. But the other thing I looked at was, you know, I've said, and I think a lot of people have, that we came in with a God that was sort of like Santa Claus. You know, okay, God, give me these things and I'll believe in you. You know, if you do this for me and do this for me, I'll believe in you. But I also had another one that was just as arrogant. It was like, okay, God, I want you to explain all of these things before I'm going to believe in you. How can there be a Holocaust? You know, how can there be crack babies? How can there be this? How can there be that? How can there be this? And I was never going to get those answers, and I think that's part of the deal, part of the bargain. You have to be willing to say, I don't know, and it's fine. I don't know. I don't have to know. My higher power doesn't need me to believe in him, her, or it to work in my life, but I tend to think it is because I've seen a lot of miracles in the years I've been in program. And again, that arrogance of I need all these things explained before I'm going to believe in God. Well, you know, again, I've got this super, super fine view of the world, and I can't pull the camera out far enough to see what my higher power sees, so I can't understand everything. Maybe there is just good and evil. Maybe there is something I don't understand. Some of the things I thought were the worst things in my life turned out to be the best things in my life, so maybe that is on an even larger scale. And today I don't need to worry about that. I just need to be a good representative of humanity for myself. You know, I need to take care of my side of the street, be the best person. I don't think any religion would look at the way I live my life and say, you're doing it wrong, except for the dogma. Okay, and I'll wrap up. The dogma I can't be responsible before, but I think everybody's idea of how a human being should live, I'm living, and that's all I can do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Deborah G. Roz?
Good morning. This is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And I just want to focus on the word or the sentence, the words which have been thought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute has facilitated made me sick. Well, I claim to be a born again Christian, but there was a time in my, there's a little epoch of time where I was watching Christian television, and there was this this guy that would lay his hands on people, and the whole stadium would fall. And then he'd have, people would come in wheelchairs and all kinds of different illnesses. And he'd have them quickly run up to the stage, lay his hands on them, they'd fall out, and they'd be healed. And so I decided to go to one of those. And I wanted to be healed of certain things. And so I was there, stood in line all day. And when it was time for him to wave his hand and everybody fall, which I saw on television a lot, I didn't fall. And then through churches that I was in, I would go up to get hands laid on me and get this relieved of me, and it didn't happen, not once. So I began to think, how come these other people are getting healing and I'm not? And the truth is what that boiled down to for me is that, God doesn't really heal me. He's not going to heal me. He's not going to pay special attention to me. He's forgotten about me. I don't feel included. That all of that I've written about. And just today, Tori, I had to come to a point where either God is or isn't, what is my choice to be, and that I'm going to make a choice to believe that there is a God and to believe in the God that I have come to understand. And the God that I have come to understand is within me, as the Big Book says, and as my scriptures say, he's within me. And I don't have to go to a stadium for some man to wave his hand on me or for somebody to put their hand on my forehead. That there's no work there for me. There's nothing, there's no introspection, there's no reflection, nothing for me to look at within myself to get better. The steps.
Time?
Yes. I'll wrap up by saying the steps, I must complete these steps. I must on these steps constantly to look to see within me, to take action and put my hand within God's hand. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you. And Deborah G., you're up, followed by Ron G. Deborah?
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you all for your service and all your shares and hearing that power in this meeting. I am so grateful that I have had, new experiences with that power in step two, and I can let go of my old ideas that I used to have about that power, about God, about that presence, about that groundedness. And it's all about when I can remember, because I can forget. And that's one of my prayers is, please, God, help me to remember you throughout my day, because those old ideas can crop up. And when they do, I'm more aware of them today because I practice spiritual practices to try and keep me connected to that power. You know, the prayer and the meditation and reading spiritual material, reading the big book, which is that power throughout that whole book. You know, going to meetings and hearing people, hearing people's experiences with that power. You know, and I'm learning today that that power is love. And that power wants my highest good and greatest joy. You know, it's just a loving, caring, understanding presence. And I love to focus on the God consciousness of being God-centered and God-grounded and God-present. Because when I do that, I noticed, you know, I came in to have a better life and a better way of living. And what I'm discovering because of that presence and what that power does to me is the world is a better place because I'm in it today, because I'm more connected and more on that plane of God consciousness. And thank you all for helping me to have that experience today. And that's all I have. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah G. And before we hear from Ron G., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 1, Dill's Story. We're on page 11, starting with the first paragraph. And then we're going to read two paragraphs today, starting with, "To Christ I conceded the certainty." And we're going to end with, "And he certainly had me." Ron, and I'll take some more names after Ron G. shares. Ron G.?
Ron G., compulsive overeater from Florida. I was thinking as we were doing the reading, you know, the teachings of Christ, you know, I loved them when I was a little kid in Sunday school. And somehow when I became a teenager, it just didn't seem that relevant. And it was only till I recovered from another addiction that, you know, I made that connection again with him. And in terms of the insanity, I've seen all kinds of insanity in churches, large and small, and all that. But I've also seen that insanity in my life. It's a total disordered eating and related chaos. And you know, what my understanding is that I need to cooperate with the grace of God for recovery. And when I do that, I'm able to eat moderately, and I'm able to handle situations moderately. When I want to take over the driver's seat, then I bring the chaos back and the potential for going back to crazy eating. And the beauty is I don't have to do that today. That's all I got. Thanks.
And thank you, Ron G. And again, we're on page 11, the first two paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Clara.
Mags. Mag C.
I heard somebody before Mags.
Clara G.
Wendy B. Is that Mara or Clara?
Clara.
Sarah?
C-L-A-R-A.
I'm sorry. Some people are talking over. Is it Clara?
Yes.
Okay, Claire, and your last initial, please?
G.
G as in George?
G as in, I don't know. Goldstein.
Sorry?
G as in gold.
Okay, great. G as in gold. And then we have Mags. Mags, and what's your last initial, please?
C, Mags C. Thanks.
Thank you, Mags. And then we have room for about three more.
Yes,
okay, everybody's piling up on each other. Okay, one at a time.
Martha S.
Okay, I heard Martha S.
Kathy Jill P.
I'm sorry, people piled up on each other. One more time, please.
Kathy Jill P.
Okay, I heard Kathy Joe P. And I heard a Marie. Did I hear Marie?
Yes.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M. Okay. All right. Thank you, ladies. And Wendy B., let's get started here, please.
This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, he seems to be talking about his impression of religion, you know, and he says, I honestly doubted whether on balance the religions of mankind have done any good. And, you know, so I'm looking at religion versus spirituality. And I've heard, you know, religion is man's attempt to reach God, and spirituality is God's attempt to reach man. So when I was into religion, it was me trying to do different things to please God, trying to be good enough, you know, in my flesh. And now spirituality is letting God do the work through me. You know, it's a joint effort to accomplish his will. And when I was into religion, you know, it didn't work. There was no power. It was all just self-effort. You know, and I'm starting now to be more aware that God's inside of me. You know, I'm not isolated and hurting with God being apart from me and untouchable. He's right inside of me, holding me securely. You know, and I heard on a special edition this morning that whenever I'm feeling insecure, I go within to find security. And it's like he's holding me tightly, and I don't have to think that he's apart from me and I have to somehow reach him and be connected to him because he's right inside. And I also heard on this morning's meeting that I heard a share that said, if God is all you have, then God is all you need. And it's like he gets to be everything to us. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. And Clara G., you're followed by Mag C. Clara?
Yes. Hi, I'm Clara. I always thought, like, okay, if God is good and he has all the power, why do we need to have lessons in the world? Why can't he had made us all learn already to begin with so that we didn't have to go through pain to learn? You know, we're supposed to learn. Why couldn't we have known everything? He could have given us the knowledge. And that was a big resentment that I had with this idea of God being powerful and being good. And the thing is that I had to let go of the resentment of God if I was going to get this program, you know. And one day the idea came to me that I could make another human being. I couldn't make an animal. I couldn't make a tree. And God can. And so obviously he's smarter than I. And I cannot pretend to understand when my level of intelligence is so lower, to understand how he is good and he gave us free will and things are the way they're supposed to be. And I have to go with faith, believing that he loves us and that he knows better than I. My capabilities are not that great to understand him. And so thanks to him, he gave me the faith to be able to believe that. And so with that, I was able to forgive this idea or to make peace with this idea of God being good and being all-powerful. But that was a very important thing for me to do, you know. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara G. And Mag C., you're followed by Martha S. Mag?
Good morning, everybody. And this is Mag C. from Colorado. I'm so inspired. I love the Pandora's box of religion that the 12 steps brings out. And I love that we choose to talk about it. It's the one thing. I mean, this program has three key elements, right? Body, mind, spirit. And basically Bill is talking through his own step two. He came to believe that a power greater than himself could restore him to sanity. And for me, that means, you know, could bring me safety, could bring me clarity on me and why I don't feel whole. like a whole human being, why I can't find a safe place unless I stuff it with food, you know, drug or drink or spend, you know? So really, you know, as much as I, as my childhood, you know, rears up against it, there is a need for spirituality and recovery. And this is a soul deep, heartbreaking disease. I feel it. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my soul. I can't eat enough food. You know, I can't puke enough times. I can't use enough laxatives. I can't starve myself enough to make me feel whole. And so logically, my brain agrees. Hell yeah, I want my heart to heal. Please, absolutely, some part of this program, heal me. And that's, you know, beyond therapy. And what I came to realize over the past 15 years of being in different 12-step programs is that, you know, I have an option now. That generations of my family, where the abuse and the abandonment issues have come from, that they didn't have or find. I have a program of recovery that has a plan of action, thank God, the steps, and then I receive a recovery of my spirit. And for years, a higher power has been completely elusive to me. I mean, my food was wrapped up in my abandonment and abuse issues as a small 6 or 7 year old child. And with my immature kid brain, I took it to mean that I was just too bad or too evil for God to consider me worth saving. And that's the bottom line with me and God. Where were you? So I sought help, you know, through religion almost all of my childhood and begged God to remove me from my home, change my family, or take me to heaven. By 15, I just had a serious case of the fuck it's. And until I learned through this program that there are so many wonderful, loving, kind, intelligent people that I adore that went through the source or the same thing, that I did, it opened up my heart. And I became willing to believe that someday I will be whole again in that space that only spirituality can fill. So, and not just some lukewarm version of it that food brings to me. So that's all I've got. Lots of hope. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mag C. And Martha S., you're followed up by Kathy Jo P. Martha?
Yes, good morning. This is Martha S. This is Sam in upstate New York. Gratefully, on steps 10 and 11 after a relapse in October, I really relate to these two paragraphs. Well, I related when I first came into OA and first worked through the steps 4 years ago. I was agnostic, and I had also thought, like Bill writes here, he writes about what he had seen in Europe, and to him, the power of God in human affairs is negligible. So I think he was talking about World War One, which was just devastating, and you know, I was a history major in college. I'm like, wow, there's so much that the world has been through. Where was God and all of that? So I came into the program as an agnostic, but I was powerless over the food. I could not stop myself from getting into the food, could not predict how much I would eat of it. And, of course, I was having great difficulty losing the weight or keeping it off. So I needed a power greater than myself, at least for the food, I realized. And it was the result of working through the steps, now formally twice through the steps, that I experienced, doing the step work, experienced a power greater than myself, helping me, carrying me, being with me. And I could sense that power. And I could start with any conception of a power greater than myself in step two. It didn't have to be based on a religion. Bill refers to Christ here, but this is, if there are any brand new folks on the line, this is not a Christian program. It's just a spiritual program. I can have any any higher power of my understanding, and knowing that because I'm human, I'm never going to really completely understand my higher power. If I could understand my higher power, it wouldn't be greater than me, greater than my little brain. But I'm just so grateful for the steps and the fellowship and for my higher power. And thank you for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Martha S. And Kathy Jo P., you're followed by Anne-Marie M. Kathy Jo?
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here. And thank you, Sherry, for your service. I have a degree in theology, and I think there's times where I thought I had a black belt in God. Yet when I came back to the rooms in 2012, I was at the point where if there was a God, that God was not for me. And I was maybe believing there's a God, but there was no God for me because I was so darn special. And my disease, which got me over 300 pounds, that my life was doomed, my life was hopeless, and I was never, ever going to be okay in this world. And I have said this on the line before, and people can disagree with me if you want, but there's that saying that when we are in the rooms that our God, our addict is doing push-ups. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I was out of the rooms, which was for 22 years, I believe my God was doing push-ups. Because once I came back and once I let God in just a tiny, tiny bit, it grew and grew and it continues to grow. God continues to grow in my life because my God is big and my God is bigger than my disease and my God is bigger than my character defects and all of that. And the more that I let that power in, the more I can be free. And there are so many lies that I listened to that my addict wanted me to listen to, such as there is no God. You're never going to lose weight. You're too old. You know, this is not going to work for you. So every day I get on the line with folks here on the phone and I get that help that I need so that you all can continue to help me get closer to God and draw near to my God so that I can get that power and so that I can be free. And this process works. And you know, I am so grateful for the people that stood there showing me the examples and living in the sunlight of the Spirit. And it was so attractive to me. And I just decided just a little bit to believe it. And wow, did that grow. And wow, I am so grateful that this all and this miracle of healing has happened for me. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P. Anne-Marie M., you're up.
Hi. Thank you. This is Anne-Marie M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I really loved hearing that God's doing push-ups for me. You know, God's my biggest cheerleader today. And I'm just so, so grateful for that. When I was in the food, the devil was the boss of me. And I just saw no hope. The despair I felt, that I didn't even think of God at all. And just knowing that I know today that he was always there for me, always doing push-ups. You know, being my cheerleader in the background, waiting for me to reach out to him. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't ever want to forget that horror of being in the food. I don't want to live that way, thinking about it all the time, but I certainly do not want to forget what it was like. And I think that's about all I have to say. Just very, really, really grateful for being so aware. You know, I was talking with my sponsor earlier, and I was talking about the awareness of my codependency. And I remember leaving work and not being aware of my feelings. You know, something would have happened at work, but I wasn't aware of any feelings. I would leave work right after having a meal and thinking, I am really hungry. You know, I really need to stop and get something to eat. And just oblivious to any kind of ill feelings I may have had at work, you know, feeling insecure or feeling bullied, or any of the lies that were going on in my head. And so, you know, it has been said that, you know, once you recover, you'll feel a lot better. And I certainly did. I felt all the, you know, I am feeling all the emotions, but I have something that I can do about it today. At first I can feel, and I'm grateful for that, whether it's good or bad, the feelings. I'm grateful that I can feel, that I'm alive, I'm human. And I have a God that I can go to. And the God, you know, of my understanding has put so many people in my life. You know, I'm only a phone call away. I don't have to live in the negativity or any of the negative feelings that I have. You know, I'm human. The feelings are going to come up. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing good about it. It's just, that's the fact. I'm going to have these feelings. But today, I have a program of recovery, which I am so grateful for, and I have people in my life that love me.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. So I'll end with that. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Anne-Marie. And we actually have time for one more three-minute share. Anyone like to share?
Cindy K.
Okay, Cindy, take it away, please.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Cindy K. in Kansas City, Missouri, a compulsive overeater. I'm really centering on the last sentence, that there was a devil, he seemed the boss of Universal, and he certainly had me. That is such a good place to be. If we are newcomers, if there's newcomers on the line and they're thinking, I don't know about this God stuff, this thing is not for me, that's a great place to be, because it's at that place we're hopeless. This disease has got us. God hasn't hurt us. We are stripped of everything but the misery of this disease. And that is the place to start. That is step one. You've taken the first step. The God stuff, that will come. But admit her powerlessness. That there's something that got me by the throat and I can't get rid of it. So I'm thankful that we can start there, and that there's more to come. And I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Cindy Kay. And we've got like a minute left. Anyone else would like to take it at the last minute? Or I'll just jump in myself. I'm Sharon. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I just want to say that for me, the boss universal was my disease, and without my higher power, I could not be absent, and I could not be absent happily and contently. And I was told, take what you like and leave the rest. And then I heard, take what you like and think about the rest. And now I say, take what you like and give God the rest. And that man created religion and God created spirituality, and the difference between the two is religion is man telling you how to have a relationship with God, and spirituality is a direct relationship with God, of my understanding, and these 12 steps, and that's what keeps me abstinent today, happily and contently. And I'm very grateful for this program. And with that, I pass. So I want to thank everybody for sharing today. It's a wonderful shares today on the line, and I want to thank Team Tuesday for their service. Martha S. read the 12 steps of OA. Stephanie L. read the 12 Traditions of OA. Eileen M. was our reader, and Cindy D. is going to read page 164 for us, And Wendy B. was our backup waiting in the wings. And, of course, Melanie C., our newcomer greeter. And so now we're going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Cindy D., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggested only and keep you until then. Cindy?
Thanks, Sherry. Our group is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.